Knowing how a Sunday law is approaching, our liberties are going to be restricted. There were experts who came out, because if you look at the screen right now, let me quote this just to connect our dots, right? This is Laudato Si. And on paragraph 169, it says this: international negotiations cannot make significant progress due to positions taken by countries, taken by countries which place their national interests above the common good.
Right.
So the common good simply means, based on the words of Pope Francis, that national interest, national sovereignty, which is also, if you break it down, individual sovereignty and liberty, must be subordinate, must be restricted, must be placed down for the global common good. He made that statement in the context of combating
climate change.
All right, here it is now. Let's link the dots. This week it was stated on the media. Experts are now saying, on the back wall, to combat climate change, we need to depopulate the world. Here it is, my friends. Let's read that. Headline, Guardian, July 12th, 2017. What it says there, Hillary?
Want to fight climate change? Have fewer children.
Wow. Now, what comes to your mind there? To fight, to stop, to combat climate change, experts are saying what? We must have what?
Have fewer children. And if you look at it, with the GMOs and all the different things that they're putting in food and water and everything, they're
to
really...
make them, to make parents...
sterile.
And the children sterile, yes.
Right. So all of these things are tending toward that goal, but they're doing it in such a subtle way. But of course, there are more overt ways as well that they're doing it. But it's been taking place for a long time. They're just now coming out and admitting that that's what they're doing, even the vaccinations.
Okay, anybody who comes to mind who is a philanthropist, so-called? Bill Gates. Bill Gates, my friends. Now, do you all know Macron? Who's Macron?
France.
Of France, right? Do you know what he said? If we want to combat climate change, then we must depopulate Africa. Look at this. July 11th, 2017. And may I just say this? This article in The Guardian is not the same as the one I'm going to show you now. It's two different groups of people talking. Macron in what's coming, and experts in this article, The Guardian. Here
so
it is
now.
You have
world leaders on one hand, and then you have
leaders.
So-called experts on the other hand, the researchers.
That's it. Hillary, headline says what?
Macron says Africa's main problem is 7 to 8 children per woman. Social media erupts.
When he made that statement. Look at this now. This is another statement from Macron. Headline, Africa needs what?
Fewer children.
So to combat the poverty, the drought in Africa, the answer he's saying, the solution Macron is saying, is not aid, not more money, not more infrastructure, not more food. We must put in measures that parents have fewer children. So what about those who are already born, Macron?
Well, that's where the vaccinations come in, and that's where the peddling of HIV, and it's not a coincidence why it's running rampant in Africa. You know, they're intentionally spreading it to depopulate.
Yes.
And it's been going on for quite some time.
Yes, notice. I mean, must I read this, my friends? Must I read this? Red words. Eyebrows were raised when news emerged that Macron also what now? Wanted to emulate Jupiter, the Roman king of gods, in his presidential style. If you ever came across, and please don't go read Roman literature, Jupiter, he was the god of war as well. And Mars and so on and so forth. They were to depopulate the world and rule. What a connection here, my friend.
Right.
As if he's speaking with dark sayings, dark speeches.
And, you know, just connecting the common good with this again, and the death penalty, when you think about depopulation, yes, they're targeting certain areas, and in this case, Africa, but who do they really want to depopulate? Mm. Who do they want to rid the world of? Though it's a small group,
and because the dragon was wrong.
Yes, because they're so infectious, that they want to depopulate
the remnant,
those that are opposing, you know, Roman Catholic teachings and so forth. Those are the real targets who they want to depopulate.
Now, friends, no. We're just getting warmed here. I believe with all my heart a Sunday law is near. And I'm saying, Lord, I personally am not physically ready, because we need to, all around, we must be ready, not only spiritually, but we have to also be in the right location. We must also find ourselves working for those who have not yet gotten an opportunity to be converted and to get ready themselves. Lord, get all of us ready. What do you say, my friends?
Amen. You know, did you finish your thought?
I'm going to drop one more bomb right now. A spiritual bomb, yes.
Okay, I was just going to say that we also should be depopulationists
in the sense of
we need to depopulate Babylon, and we need to bring those in Babylon into the truth of God.
You're preaching now. Amen.
Not physically taking their lives, but depopulate the numbers of Babylon.
Amen.
And it will happen when that mighty angel comes down in Revelation 18 and that loud cry is given.
Oh, yeah.
Babylon will be depopulated. Praise God.
Amen. Hey, friends, let me say this. The Antichrist said this week, it's time for Europe to federalize. And that statement flew over the media. As it were, not many folks talked about it. But for those of us who understand the Bible and history, we know what that statement means. Go with me. Chapter 2 of Daniel. Where are we going to, my friends? Look at this carefully here. Headline says, this is Catholic Herald, July 11th, 2017. Headline reads, Pope Francis says what, Hillary?
Europe must be federal.
All right, the bottom section, he says what?
Pope Francis reportedly said Europe will no longer count for anything in the world if it does not federalize.
What does that word federal mean? Look at the definition.
Together,
what now?
To bring together under one head, basically.
To bring nations.
Right, nations together.
States under one head.
Mm-hmm.
And watch, in chapter 2 of Daniel, is there a power trying to bring all nations under one head?
Oh, yes.
In the toe of the image?
Yes. And also in Revelation 17, we see it again.
Come on, friends. Can we not see where we are? The definition is, right-hand corner, it says, formed by a compact between political units that what now? Surrender their individual sovereignty to a central authority, but remain limited residuary powers of government. And he's calling for Europe, the whole continent, to be what now?
Federalized. The only thing missing here is the term common good.
That's it. For the common good.
That's what it goes back to.
Why? It means what now? There it is in common good. Come on, friends.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Here it is. Hillary, read that then.
International negotiations cannot make significant progress due to positions taken by countries which place their national interests
above
the global common good.
That means when he said that Europe must be federalized, that means what? Each state, each country must give up what?
Their sovereignty.
Their sovereignty. Their national interest. For the better of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Can we not see where we are, my friends? Go back with me. Watch carefully. Because as Miller came. Now, let me ask you this question. Can we not see that we're one day closer to the mark of the beast crisis? Can we see it, my friends? Can we see it?
Amen.
So will we ask God, dear God, get me ready.
Amen.
To be not only ready spiritually, physically, and mentally, but to be ready to be a fit vessel that you can pour in the gospel truth, that I may give present truth to a dying church and a dying world.
Amen.
I want to be made ready. How about you, my friends?
Amen.
Will you? All right. Let's get back to William Miller. Did they oppose the Millerites?
They did. They vehemently opposed them.
And in this chapter, what we're seeing here, just as the church leaders, ministers, and the people oppose William Miller and his associates leading up to October 22nd, 1844, the opening of the judgment. So, ministers today, people will also reject God's end time messengers as we are nearing what great event now? The close of the investigative judgment. Now, tell us now, what were some reasons why the people opposed the Millerites?
Well, they were laymen, for one. They didn't go through the right channels.
That's it.
They weren't educated in the schools of the world, as it were.
Look at this statement here, page 376. It says that they also, friends, hear me. How would you feel if your pastor came to you and told you, I don't want you to listen to any preacher who is preaching the 2300 days prophecy of Daniel 8:14, what would you say? What would you think? Why not, right? What if they told you, don't go to their meetings? Anybody who is preaching the three angels' messages, do not go to their meetings. Do not watch them on Facebook. Do not watch them on YouTube. What would you say? Well, my friends, it happened back there. Leading up to the opening of the judgment, it's going to be repeated as we're heading to what event?
The close of probation. But it's happening today because there have been countless letters that have been sent out saying, don't go to this meeting and that meeting and so forth. Don't listen to this person and that person.
Yes. Hear what this says, page 376, paragraph 1, But as
ministers and religious leaders decided against the Advent doctrine and desired to suppress all agitation of the subject, they not only opposed it from the pulpit, but denied their members the privilege of attending preaching upon the second Advent.
Or even of speaking of their hope in the social meetings of the church. You are not allowed to talk about the prophecies of Daniel 8:14 and Revelation chapter 14 in those churches before 1844 autumn. So it will be as the mark of the beast is nearing. Come on.
Yes, I was just going to say that Ellen White is not speaking from a second or third hand experience.
First hand.
She experienced this as well. If you go back to Testimonies for the Church, volume 1, she talks about her experience in her Methodist church. So she's speaking on personally what happened to her and her family because they accepted the Advent doctrine, how that they were told to keep quiet. They couldn't say anything. They couldn't speak of their joy. She was shut down when she tried to speak of her, you know, excitement of the Lord's coming and her experiences. So she's speaking from a firsthand experience. So when we read this chapter in the Great Controversy, we need to see that Ellen White, she lived this. This is what she experienced. This was her time period, and she was kicked out of the church as a result, and her whole family.
Thank you. Notice now, it says on page 380, just one, the top red area, it says, the fact that what, the message, was to a great extent preached by whom?
Laymen.
Laymen was urged as an instrument against it, as of old. The plain testimony of God's word was met with the inquiry, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed? My friends, if it was merely laymen who were proclaiming the message, mostly before the opening of the investigative judgment, and type must meet anti-type, who would predominantly be used to present the present truth before the mark of the beast and before the close of the investigative judgment? Who, my friends? Laymen. And notice, let's get more specific here. In the blue section on your screen, the blue colored words, it says, watch carefully, many discouraged the study of the prophecies, teaching that the prophetic books were sealed, right? And were not to be what?
Understood.
Multitudes, trusting implicitly to their pastors, refused to listen to the warning. And others, though convinced of the truth, dared not confessed it. Why?
Lest they should be put out of the synagogue.
Okay. Notice now. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed? This quote is coming from John chapter 7, the time period of Christ's earthly ministry. I want to get very specific here. So who were the laymen that proclaimed the 70 prophetic weeks of Daniel 9? Who were those laymen?
Christ's disciples.
Christ, John the Baptist, the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Were they conferenced, led, and authorized?
No, they weren't.
So these were the laymen.
These were the laymen.
What happened to William Miller and his license after the church began to say, we don't want to hear that?
It was taken away.
All right. So these were not church-sponsored preachers.
No.
So how would it be then before and during the mark of the beast crisis?
Mm-hmm,
it's going to be laymen, self-supporting preachers who don't have a conference authority to preach.
Right. And you mentioned John 7, but if we go down to the last line of the blue, lest they should be put out of the synagogues, two chapters later, we find John 9
yes.
with the blind man that was healed.
Yes.
And when the Pharisees and the religious leaders came to him, he was confessing Christ, but yet his parents were afraid to answer the questions because they feared. They did not want to be put out of the synagogue. And and my last point on that, where it says that the pastors refused to listen to the warning and others, though convinced of the truth. I'm thinking of how it will be in the close of the judgment when the pastors have withheld this knowledge from the people. The people, when they find out that they're lost and the pastors, you know, should have warned them, they're going to turn on their pastors, we're told in early writings, with bitter hate and reproach, saying that you knew these things, but yet you withheld us from knowing them.
Now, notice here, my friends. As we look at the time period, I want everyone to catch this. In this chapter, there was something startling that took place between the summer of 1844, right, and the autumn of 1844. Whatever happened between that time period will be repeated now and between the time when Jesus stands up and closes probation. What happened with the professed Christians in these churches between the summer of 1844 and the autumn? What happened there, Hillary?
There was a notable spiritual declension among the churches.
And it's going to happen again in the last, as a matter of fact, it's happening right now.
Correct.
Look at this, my friends, on page 376 and 377. The blue word says, but in that year, autumn, the summer and autumn of 1844, but in that year, there were evidences of a sudden and marked declension in nearly all the churches of the land. 377 paragraph 1, next paragraph. Very extensively, church members are becoming what?
Devotees of fashion. Join hands with the ungodly in parties of pleasure, in dancing, in festivities, etc.
Blue words. They have gone very far from the Lord, and Jesus has withdrawn himself from them.
Wow.
This was a condition between the summer and the autumn of 1844. They have joined hands with the ungodly in parties of pleasure, in dancing, in what?
Festivities.
Now, what text in the Bible comes to mind? Join hands with the ungodly in parties of pleasure, in dancing, in festivities.
Mm-hmm. Well, Exodus 32.
The base of Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
The base of Mount Sinai. And we're told, now don't lose that point. I'm going to wrap these two points together with some current events. The point here is this. There is a reason why they opposed the first angel's message. It was because they did not want to change.
Right.
And one reason today why people don't want to hear about present truth and prophecies. They do not want to change. It says right here. Red words, Hillary, what it says.
Where the message of divine truth is spurned or slighted, there the church will be enshrouded in darkness. Faith and love grow cold and estrangement and dissension enter.
Church members center their interests and energies in what? Worldly pursuits. And sinners become hardened
in their impenitence.
Watch this, my friends. Are we seeing it now?
We're seeing it.
The
very
festivities,
clearly.
The joining of hands with the world, mm-hmm. the dancing and carrying on.
We're seeing
now,
it.
Friends, a few weeks ago we touched on this. I'm just bringing out things old and new with the LGBT Pride March, Pride March.
Party.
And mm-hmm. a party in the SDA church. Now, I'm going to run past this because I'm going somewhere here. Have you ever heard of something called outspoken? Anybody? Outspoken? Okay. Look at this headline here. This is July 13th, 2017, Spectrum. Headline?
Camilo Nazar wants to give queer people more representation.
Now, who are queer people? Okay. Look at the right-hand corner, top. Hillary, what it says there? Camilo.
Camilo Nazar, a film student at Pacific Union College, wants to give queer people of color something that he never had growing up.